Okay. What we're going to do is, I would like to, it's an interesting thing, but the Haftorah for last week's reading actually discusses, brings out the points that we were going over last week. And that is the, let me just show you where it is. It's in Malachi. Okay. It's Malachi 3, 13. Okay. Now, what it says is, your words have been strong against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Now God answers. So God says, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his commandments, and that we walked with great difficulty, mournfully, before God. And he says, they continue, and they say, the people say, and now we're respecting the evildoers. And those who have done, those wicked people, those who have done evil deeds, they even tested God and escaped. Okay? So, what is the question here? What is the prophet discussing here? This is a concept that the prophet is trying to bring out. And he says, God says to the people that your words have been very strong against me, and the people say, what did we say against you? So then God says, you said that there's no benefit in serving God, and what do we gain out of the fact that we kept his commandments and that we walked within the darkness, so to speak, mournfully before the Lord, before the God of hosts? And now we're respecting, pay respect to wicked people. And the evildoers, they even tested God and escaped. Nothing happened to them. Okay? Now take a look at the next verse. The very next verse is a cryptic verse. And when the prophet and the Torah, the rule is, when things become cryptic, it means there's an idea here which you have to search out. But take a look at this next verse. It says, then feared the Lord spoke one to another. Okay, and it says, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and took heed of his name. Okay, and then God says, and these people shall be to me, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day which I appoint as my particular day, and I will spare them, and I will... Well, actually, I don't like this translation. It says, and I will have compassion upon them as a man has compassion on his son that serves him. And then the prophet continues and he says, then you'll return and you'll see the difference between a righteous person and an evildoer, between he who serves God and he who has not served God. Okay, and then it speaks about, of course, it goes into the end of time, the end of days, which is, you know, the Olam Haba, the eschatological, okay? And it describes what will happen to the evil and how the righteous will, how before the righteous there will be light, etc. Okay, now... But before we get to the eschatological part, let's just move back. What happened here? Look carefully. It's some interesting verses here. God says to the people that your words have been very strong against me. And the people say, what did we say against you? Okay. Then God says, you said there's no benefit in serving God. And what gain following all his commandments and all the difficulties we went through? And then God says that you say that we... that people even tested God, which means they did things against God, and they got away with it. Okay? Then it says, then the prophet says, then spoke one to another those that fear God. And God listened, and he heard, and he wrote it down in the book before him for those that fear God and the ones that respect his name. Now, what did they say? What did those that fear God say? doesn't say a word. It says they spoke, God listened, he wrote it down. Obviously, the prophet is trying to convey an idea over here. Okay? He demands that you look into his words and sift out and discover what he means. Let's take the first part. What is the first part? The first part is where he states the people say, what did they say? God says you've spoken against me. And the people say, what did we say? Apparently the people didn't know what God meant. And then God says, no, you did say something. You said that there's no purpose what do we gain by serving God? Okay? And then we had questions also, because we saw people that were evil, they were built up, respected, we have to respect them. And we see people that test God, which means they go against his word, nothing happens to them. Okay? What theory? We have to understand, if God says to the people, you've spoken against me, and they say, what did we say? And then God explains it to them, what is this dialogue? If people speak against God, they know it, and they know that God knows it. So how could people deny this? How could they say, well, we didn't speak to you, and then God says, no, you did. What kind of a dialogue is this, you see? But you'll see that the prophet is really saying something that's very deep here. You see, people, and then if it says later, then you'll return and you'll see between those who serve God and those that don't serve God. Those that really fear God, those that don't really don't fear God. What do you mean that really? I mean, isn't that pretty obvious? Can't you tell who serves God and who doesn't serve God? It should be pretty simple. The answer is like this. The answer is, people look at, when people read the prophets, they read it simplistically, and they just think of like the good guy and the bad guy. It's all as simple as that. But the prophet speaks on a very deep level. See, the prophet is speaking in the first instance where God says to the people, you've spoken against me, and then they say, well, what do we say? And God explains what they say. What? Let's take a look carefully. What did they say, and what theory are they operating with? Okay? They said, what benefit is there? They said, the evil people are successful, and we have to bow down to them. We have to kowtow to them, so to speak, and give them respect. And they get away with it, okay? What theory are they operating on? What's the theory of those people? See, these are not people that don't keep the Torah, because if they're people that don't keep the Torah, so then obviously they're wicked, and when God asks them, what did you say against me? What did I say? We didn't say anything against you. We just don't keep the Torah. We just don't do anything. You see, that's ridiculous. There wouldn't be any dialogue there. But what God is speaking to a certain kind of person that does keep the Torah, but in the back of his mind, he says, what benefit is there? What am I going to gain out of all this? What theory is such a person operating with? Such a person is operating under the theory of compensation. That's what we've discussed until now. That's the average person. The average person thinks in terms of compensation. And it doesn't mean these people are not religious. They're very religious. Just only in the back of their mind, they worked with the theory of compensation. And that's what God. That's why when God says, you've spoken, you say, what do we say again? We keep the laws. We do things. What should we do to Torah? We're doing bad. So God says, no, you are doing something wrong because you really are looking for a compensation. In the back of your mind, you say that, hey, look, what are we getting out of this? So it doesn't matter if you keep the Torah. It doesn't matter if you do the laws. If you are doing everything because of compensation, that's what you have in the back of your mind, then you really aren't a righteous person, and you don't understand what righteousness is. You see? That's what the prophet is trying to bring out. Okay? It's not a simplistic concept. It's a very deep concept, and it applies to most people even today. Now take a look at verse 17, and you'll see. I don't know if it's actually in your Bible, and I have in the Hebrew edition, it is that way. Okay, now verse 17, it says, then those that fear God spoke one to another. And it says, and God listened, and he heard, and he wrote it down in a book of remembrance before him that is designated for those that fear God and those that respect his name. Okay, now, the question we raised is that, What is this conversation? Well, what do they say? I mean, it says God listened and he heard. Heard what? Okay? Now, what the prophet is saying is like this. You know, it's interesting. See, the prophet is saying that the people spoke to each other. Now, the rabbis say? What were they talking about? So the rabbis, Talmud says, they were talking about Torah. They were involved, engaged in Torah discussions. Which Torah discussions? Doesn't matter. They were engaged in Torah. What does that mean? It means like this. It means that at the time when other people were raising questions, they were saying, hey, you know, there's no, what are we getting out of this? We're keeping the Torah, keeping the commandments, and we're not getting any compensation. So they were operating, these people were operating under the principle of compensation. But the people, the ones that truly feared God, what did they do? They just kept studying Torah. Because they know that the true benefit for man is to be involved in Torah. That is the true good. You don't do that for compensation. You do the best thing that a person can do. That's like the story with Rabbi Akiva, where when the Romans prohibited the study of Torah, so he went out and he studied Torah. And they asked him why. He said the fox one time went to a brook and tried to talk the fish into coming out of the water. He's much better on the land for you. It's much nicer out here. So the fish responded. They said, if in the water, where is our place of habitat, this is our natural habitat, we live in fear constantly. Can you imagine if we went out in the land? So Rabbi Akiva says, that's the same thing with us. He says, Torah, this is something which is a necessity. This is natural for us. This is the environment that is made for us. If we're in danger over here, could you imagine if we leave this environment, how dangerous it'll be? So the person that keeps Torah because he knows this is the good, not the compensation theory, that is the person that truly fears God. And that's why the prophet says that then you'll see the difference in that time. It's speaking about the time when the ultimate redemption, at the time of the ultimate redemption, these two groups of people are going to be existing. Which two groups? Those who keep the Torah because of a theory of compensation, in the back of their minds are looking for compensation, and the other ones who just do it because they know it's the good. Okay? Therefore, the prophet says that you'll be able to see the difference between the person that is truly serves God and the one that didn't serve God. What does it mean? It means the one that serves God out of compensation, that's not really a person that's serving God. That's not a person that recognizes the true good, which God has taught man in the Torah. It's a person that's looking for something else. And when it becomes difficult, these people will abandon the way of Torah. But the person who recognizes that the good is really the Torah itself, that is the good, that person will never leave the Torah. That's why it says, see, whenever it says that God listened and he heard and he wrote down, and the prophet, we're trying to say, the prophet is trying to say that these people are involved in something eternal. You see, that's what it means. When God listens and God writes down, that parable of God writing down is used to express eternal truth. It means that God listened to them because they were truly functioning on the level of man, which means they were truly acting in a way that man acts when he partakes of those things that are eternal.
Rabbi, identify the fears of God there.
Excuse me?
Can you identify the fears of God? Who are these that fear God?
Yes, the ones who... Well, the prophet does identify those people.
Okay.
The prophet identifies those people as the ones who do the commandments, of God's commandments, because they know they are good. They are the only good for man. This gives man his happiness. It gives him everything that is good. Those are the ones that the prophet is identifying. Those are the ones that ultimately, in the ultimate day of redemption, it says that that for them, and that's what it says in the in verse 20. It says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Rise rise with healing in its wings." And you shall go out and leap like calves from the stall. So those are the ones that are going to, in the ultimate day of redemption, those are the ones that are going to not only survive, but they'll be living in the best possible way. Okay? So But if they have this, in the back of their mind, they have this question. And why do people have this question in the back of their mind? Because they're operating under the theory of compensation. That's why the prophet doesn't even answer the question. If you take a look at that, God says, why did you speak against me? They say, what do we say? No one, a person who serves God because of the theory of compensation, which most people in the back of their mind are waiting for God to compensate them, they don't feel they're doing anything wrong. They feel on the contrary, they're religious, they're righteous. That is what the prophet is pointing out, that God says to them, why do you speak against me? They say, what do we speak? We don't say anything against you. So then God says, no, you do. Because the moment you are operating under the theory of compensation, then you're speaking against God, because you're removed from God and from his knowledge and from his Torah, where he teaches you that the reason why you should keep the Torah, as it says in Deuteronomy many times, is for your good. This is the good. God, in his kindness, gave us the Torah and revealed truths which guide our life. If our truths, we have a good life. If we don't, who do we harm? Not God, we harm ourselves. So a person that doesn't understand this concept, even though he keeps the Torah, is really not a righteous individual. And that's why it says, you will see on that day, in the day of the ultimate redemption, the differentiation will be made between the righteous and between the wicked. That's one group. And this is in verse 18. And between he who serves God and doesn't serve God. No, what the prophet is saying is, on that day it will be revelation which will distinguish between a person that really serves God, which means a person that does the good because it is the good, and a person that just looks like he's serving God, but he's not serving God. He's serving some kind of a, he's working on a fantasy compensation type of modus operandi. That's not a person that truly serves God, okay? This is exactly what I'm trying to express. These ideas are expressed in these few verses. So that's why, by the way, if you take a look at this, it's an interesting thing. But grammatically, when it says, you see, this you can't do unless you know the Hebrew, because where it says in verse 16, then they who fear the Lord speak to one another. Now, ordinarily, this word, the way it would be dibru. Dibru means to speak. Daber, that means to speak. But here is one of four times in the entire Tanakh that you find a different form of this word. And here you find the word is not dibru, but nidburu. Now, nidburu, grammatically, is one of the grammatical forms called nifal. It means passive reflexive, okay? Which means to say like this. That if I want to say a person is doing an action which state of the person, it means, so to speak, they're involved in it, I use that form of the verb. For instance, if a person is taking a shower, so you say, Miss Rachet. You don't say he is washing himself. You say he is involved in washing. He's being washed. He's doing an action that turns back on himself and reveals something about his own state. Okay? Now, it's very interesting, but this form of the word, using that form in the word to speak, is only found four times. Two of them are right here in Malachi. Okay? Now, the reason is because over here, precisely as the Talmud explains, over here, the reason why it doesn't say what they said is because it's not important what they said. What the prophet is trying to say is, you should have to translate it this way, then those that fear God were engaged and involved themselves in speaking. You see, that would be the proper translation. Not spoke. Spoke is the ordinary form of the verb. Over here it means, then those that feared God, they involved themselves in speaking one to another. It's reflexive. It means, not sometimes a person speaks, he's trying to communicate some idea. So he has an objective. He's doing an action, just like any other action. But over here it's, he is being involved in speaking. So the prophet carefully selected that form of the word to show that it's not important what they said. What we're trying to show is they were engaged in speaking. This is what was virtuous about those who fear God. They were engaged. What were they speaking? What does it mean they're engaged in speaking? They were engaged in speaking about Torah. It says that God listened and he heard and he wrote it down. It means these things. thing is these ideas that they're engaged in are eternal ideas. The Talmud, for instance, says in Gittin, two scholars were having a debate. And then one of them later met Elijah the prophet. And he says, what is God doing? He says, he is discussing this argument that the two of you are having. So the other person said back to Elijah, says, how could that be? He says, this, God knows what the truth is. This is just an argument. We don't know, but God knows the truth. So Elijah said, no. He says, both of you, what both of you are saying are the words of the living God. That means to say that even when there's an argument and there's only one truth, but the important thing is that both people are analyzing the problem logically, and that is really partaking of the eternal. As long as, and that's why the Talmud, usually, the Talmud is not really that concerned so much with the outcome of a problem. It's a philosophy of education that the Talmud has. The Talmud's philosophy of education is, important is not the conclusion, what is important is understanding the problem properly. That's more important than the conclusion. Many times you have in the Talmud, you left pages of analysis, of dissertation on a problem. Then the Talmud comes to the conclusion, one line. And the conclusion is, boom, boom, boom. This is what we do. This is the way we practice. Conclusion is not really the important thing. Understanding the problem properly, that's the important thing. Of course, when man uses his mind to understand Torah, then he's involved in the eternal world of God. So when he does that, then he achieves his perfection. And that's really why the prophet over here does not say what they spoke about. It says God listened, he heard, and he wrote it down. I mean, these things that these people are involved in, these are eternal things. What God writes down is eternal things. God wrote the Torah because every word is eternal. God doesn't write down that only have importance in a momentary way. Okay? So that is what the prophet is. That's what the prophet is saying. It's interesting that same form of the verb, of the reflexive, is also used, by the way, is also used in 13, where God says to the people that your words have become very strong against me. He says, and you will say, what did we speak against you? Okay, again, the verb is used, which means, what were we involved in speaking against you? Which means, you see, the prophet is trying to show that over here, when a person complains about God, the words have no value. The words are not important. What's important is the state of the person, is in a low state of existence. And that prophet has used the same word twice to show that there are two cases where what the person says is not important. It's the state of the person that's important. And that is when a person complains against God and he misses the whole point of the Torah because he operates under the theory of compensation, so then what he says has no value. It's meaningless, not important. What's important is that this person is unfortunately in a bad state. That's why he uses that form of the verb. He's involved in a wrong kind of talking, a talking that stems from his emotional, primitive side. But then the prophet uses that same form of the verb to show that there is a kind of involvement which is the right, the good kind of involvement. That is the involvement in ideas, in Torah, in God's thoughts that he conveyed to us in through the Torah. This is the good kind of involvement. So that's why, if you notice in Malachi, that's why he puts them in juxtaposition to each other. You see, the righteous and the wicked. He who doesn't serve God. And that's one form of the verb, which is only found in two other places, by the way, and in both cases it means the same kind of thing. It says it doesn't mean the speech has any value, but it means complaining, you see. The translation is really complaining. It's found in Psalms and it's found in Ezekiel. Both have the same meaning. So this form of the verb is a form of the verb that reflects attitude in the individual, okay? And it also reflects a certain kind of spontaneity, by the way. Spontaneity. It means you see you're all of a sudden involved, and the spontaneity is in both cases. There's wicked spontaneity and there's righteous spontaneity. Wicked spontaneity is where a person, something bad happens, he complains against God, he's angry. This is a certain reflex, which conveys a certain attitude. The primitive man operating here. But on the other hand, the reflex where a person is spontaneously involved in Torah, spontaneously thinks of Torah, this is a reflex which gives man, allows him to partake of the eternal. That's when, that's what the prophet means, and he gives you a parable by saying God listened and wrote it down in his book, because those things will always remain before God, because those things are truly the eternal. So, there is, according to Torah, we mentioned the question of God's justice. There is a proper way to approach it and an improper way. If a person approaches it emotionally, how could God do this? Then you know right away he's operating under the compensation theory. That's the improper way of dealing with the problem. The Torah likes to deal with all problems, but the Torah demands of man that he deals with it in the proper manner, which means that he deals with it on an intellectual level. The dealing with it should be motivated by a quest for the truth and knowledge and understanding, not because the person is emotionally trying to justify something. He's complaining. He maintains that he's not involved in an inquiry. He's just a foregone conclusion, and he's just operating on the basis of his emotions. But the entire book of Job, of course, was dedicated to the problem of God's justice. That was, our tradition says that Moses wrote that book. That was because that was done properly in the proper manner of investigation. That is the righteous person thinking. That's the eternal ideas. But the person who operates under the compensation and claims exactly as the prophet says over here, there's no benefit in serving God. Look at these people. They don't serve God. They get away with it. Why should I do it? What did I get out of it? And then you're working on the compensation theory. Then you're not operating on the proper level. This is not an investigation. This is a complaint. This person is operating with a foregone conclusion. This is the one that doesn't serve God. And even if they keep the commandments, even if they keep the Torah, that still is not serving God. That's what the prophet is saying, that in that day, God will distinguish between those people who operate under the compensation theory and those people who recognize the true good. Okay, I think it should be time to turn the tape.
You're right.